Deuteronomy 29:29, the last verse in the chapter. The word says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. They're in his strong box. We don't know what they are. He didn't tell us. And I don't know whether he ever will tell us. But he has a will that we don't know anything about. We wonder sometimes when God does things and we can't comprehend what he's doing. And God, in so many words, tells us none of our business that this is his will. And he has things, he has secret things that belongs to him. And he don't want to reveal them. He don't want to share them right at the present time. And he may never want to share his secret things. You see, God has things that he feels it's necessary to keep us in the dark. He feels it's necessary to control his people and give them an understanding that he does what is according to his own will. He said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful. He just opened that treasure chest and let us look in it. I wonder what it is. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So then we have the secret will of God, and we have the revealed will of God here in one verse of Scripture. He's telling us he has a will that, and he has things that it's a secret and it belongs to him. It's in my treasure chest, God says. But he says, I have another treasure chest I'm going to open up, and I'll reveal these things to you, these things that's good for you and for your children, these things that you need to know to worship me in spirit and truth, these things you need to know to follow my will and my rule and my guidelines, these things you need to know to worship me and to live for me and adore me and love me and put me first in your life. He said, I have a treasure chest of these things, and I'm going to reveal them and open them to you, and you can understand these things. But he said, we can't be slothful about it. Paul wrote one place, we can't be slothful in God's business. You know, it's just like when you're on the job, if you're lazy and you treat the job badly and you're slothful and everything on the job, well, pretty soon you're going to lose that job. Man ain't going to put up with it. God ain't going to put up with it either. God said, if we honor man and the responsibility we have as the responsibility that he gave to Adam when Adam sinned, and he told Adam he's going to have to work for his bread. Isn't that right? He said, he's going to have to work for it. He said, I've been giving it to you. I've been supplying everything that you need, but you disobeyed me, and you turned your back upon me, and you said you didn't need me anymore. You said you wanted to be like God, and you wanted to know about good, and you wanted to know about evil, et cetera, and so on. So God cursed the ground. That's the reason we're in trouble today. God cursed the ground because of sin. Now, notice over in Romans chapter 9, verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted God's will? Have we resisted God's will? He's talking about the secret will of God. Sure, we resist God's revealed will. We have Christians that's living cheaply, slothfully, lazy. That they are not living according to the plan and purpose God has and what God has drawn up in his word. A lot of people said, you know, if I just knew the will of God, you know, everything would be all right. But you see, you can't know the will of God by sitting home, not coming to church. You can't know the will of God by not studying the Word of God and not going to God and having talks with God and frequently trips with God and having communion with God. You don't know His will. You see, a child must understand its parents. They must fear and love their parents and fear their parents and to understand their parents, you see. They must be obedient to their parents. And then as they get older and as they go along, they can understand why mom and dad done certain things. A lot of times, we become maybe a little distraught and upset when God denies us a petition, denies us something in the Word of God. But God knows what's good for us and what's best for us, you see. And He's not going to give us anything that will harm us. God wants us to understand that and to realize these things. So then He's talking about the secret will. No one has ever ever resisted God's secret will. We do things and plans and purposes comes into our life and God deals with us. We can't comprehend it sometimes. You know, things has happened in my life and I still don't understand a lot of the things that happened in my life. I had to make a lot of hard decisions in my 31 years as being a pastor and being a Sovereign Grace preacher. I've had to make a lot of decisions, and sometimes I couldn't comprehend fully the decisions I had to make, but I knew God laid them on my heart, and I knew God wanted me to do that. And sometimes it was heartbreaking when I had to make some of these decisions. But God, you see, we must be obedient to God and to the revealed will. God has revealed His will in the Word of God for us, and we shouldn't have any problem with it. So that's what we want to talk about tonight and several, a couple more Sunday nights probably. There's a need today in the life of all of God's people to be positive of divine guidance. You don't hear or read much on this subject. I've been in a lot of the Bible bookstores, and I've searched and hunted and looked, and I can't find anything on this subject. None of God's Sovereign Grace men, I can't find where any of them's wrote anything on this. If he has, it's out of print. Of course, we have a lot of it by the Armenians and Free Willers, but they won't do you any good because they just guess at what they think God's will is. Now, this is on the practical side of the Christian life. And many believers are concerned about being led of the Lord in all their ways. Yet, when some important decision has to be made, they are often puzzled to know how the Lord's mind is to be obtained. We hear such expressions as is used as, is this according to God's will? Do I have the promoting of the Holy Spirit? Was I led of the Lord in my decision? Sincere minds will continue to ask questions and never arrive at any certain assurance. We don't want to condemn these expressions, but try and point out that they are too intangible for most people until more definite and defined instructions is reached in the Word of God. It's fair questions, and it's very honest. We can be very honest with God when we say those things. But we can go further than that. I think God gives us directions and gives us an understanding how we can comprehend these things and understand about God's will. Now turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now let's look at some concerning the will of God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is a good place to begin, as any. It says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you, excite you by the word, by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel or body in holiness and honor. So God says we're not in the dark about it. God says his revealed will, we ought to know how to walk and to please him, and how that we can abound more and more in his love and in his mercy and in his grace. When we think about the will of God, we think about the approving will of God. Now that the approving will of God as being agreeable to his nature. We have to have that. Now when Jesus Christ, when he died, his sacrifice, the holy sacrifice, his sacrifice had to be acceptable to God. And it had to be in the nature of God. God won't accept anything else. So then we have to have the approving will of God as being agreeable to his nature. Does God approve of who we are, of what we are? We have to have that. We'll never know the will of God till we know that. Does God approve of us? Does God approve of his body here at Buffalo Valley Baptist Church? Does he approve of each member of that body of Buffalo Valley Baptist Church? Does he approve of what? Of his nature. Do we have God's nature? Now you see, we have to have God's nature. Now in Genesis chapter 5, it talks about, we're going to be reading them later. There's four places in the Word of God that you can read. It gives the whole duty and responsibility of man. And I picked out four. There's more now, but I picked out four. Now it talks about Enoch walk with God. Let's read that just a moment. And we'll come back to this. The approving will of God. How did Enoch arrive at this? At the approving will of God. Well, you say, well, I was in the Old Testament. Well, he was a child of God. Notice in verse 21 of Genesis 5. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God when? After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now Hebrews tells us that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now how did it come? Enoch didn't walk with God for 65 years. God had to give Enoch a reason that he might walk with him. You understand? The approving will of God. The approving will of God is the nature of God. What did he do? He gave Enoch a son. He gave Enoch a son. He gave him a reason to walk. Now he already had the reason. God was the reason. But you see, this was a divine relationship between God and Enoch. But they had to be a materialistic thing here. You see, when we walk now with God, we have Jesus Christ, right? We have Jesus Christ. And he came down here and he took upon him the form or likeness of sinful flesh, that we might have an anchor, you see, with God. Jesus Christ is our anchor with God. He was man, he is also God. Enoch had to have some encouragement. Enoch had to have some kind of goal in life. You see, he had, and God gave him a son. He didn't walk with God until God gave him a son. So God gave him a person to walk, gave him a reason to walk with him, to walk with God. Enoch, he gave him a son. So this was Enoch's relationship in the flesh. But God was his relationship in the spirit, you see. And this is what, we'll be getting back to that later. But this is what it's talking about, see. The approving will of God by being agreeable to God's nature. We can't be approved of God. Look here, it says here. In verse 13 of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, right up, you know, the last verse in chapter 3. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, that is Jesus Christ, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. He gave us a reason. See, he gave us, you see, he gave us an approving will by the divine nature of God in Christ. If I never had Christ, I could never walk. I could never come up to the standards of the approving will of God. Now, there's more than just that. The approving will of God. Being agreeable to God's nature. Everything I do must be agreeable to God's nature. The way I live, the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I preach, the way I conduct myself. Everything that I do must be agreeable to God's nature. If it's not, God will not accept it. It's no good. God don't want it. God give me that nature. He gave me a son. In other words, he gave me Jesus Christ, his son. And that by that, he gave me that nature that I might walk and that I might have an agreeable, you see, in this agreeable nature that I may have of God, that it may be the approving will of God in my life. God approves of what I do because I do it in Jesus Christ. To honor him and glorify him. To establish my goings. To the end I may walk, you see. It's not just a day or two. I'm like Enoch, man. I'm going to walk with God. And Paul said we can do that to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Until the coming of Jesus Christ or till we go by the way of the grave. I've been approved of God. In Ephesians 1:6 it said, that I've been accepted in the beloved. He's my holiness. He's my acceptance before God. He's my approving, agreeable nature before God. Then I got to have his permissive will as required God's glory. Got to have that too. Can't just have one, got to have all of them. I have to have it all except the secret will of God. It's revealed right here in the Word of God. Well, how do I get that? How would I get that? His perceptive will as required by God's glory. Well, let's go back to Ephesians. I'll read you a verse here and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Of course, the biggest part of you know what I'm going to say here. Some of these leftover messages I had so many on holiness, I had to quit on the holiness. This is one I was going to preach for several, but I stopped. I thought I'd use these as be good for the church. In Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of God's glory who first trusted in Christ. God must receive the glory. He must receive the glory and honor. And that's the way we have. You see, we can't be proud and arrogant and puffed up and think we're something in the sight of God. To have The perceptive will of God requires God's glory. Everything we do in our life must bring glory and honor to God. If it don't, God don't want it. It's not for our praise. It's not for what we think we ought to be or what we think we ought to have. It's the honor of God, His holy name, to honor Him, our Heavenly Father. Because Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Peter writes about it, about that begotten again by that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. A living hope, very much alive within us. His perceptive will, that keeps me on guard. I understand and realize, His perceptive will, because everything I do, God must get glory out of it. Now, you see, when I stand at the bema seat of Christ, I'm going to have to give an account of every message I preached over here. You won't have to answer to it. I will. You'll answer to it whether you accepted it or not, whether you believed it or not, whether you took it in and God fed you with it. You'll answer for that. But I'll have to give an answer to everything that I've done. You see, so will you when you stand at the bema seat of Christ. And it has to be for God's glory. You see, a lot of people think the only reason God sent Jesus Christ into this world was to die for low-down, dirty sinners like we are. That's a bad conception to think such a thing as that. The first and foremost reason God sent Jesus Christ into this world was for His honor and glory, that He might manifest His perfections in a creature. He couldn't do it in me, could He? Could He do it in you? He couldn't do it in you. He couldn't do it in me. And that His law, that he was a sovereign God, that His law had been broke, His law must be established and honored and glorified. And the only way He could do that was in Jesus Christ. How could He be God? How could He require anything from my hands if God's law was not ratified and established after it was broke? His glory. Whatever God does, He does it for His own honor and His own glory. It's always been that way. Not for our cause. For Your name, David in the book of Psalms said, for Your name, for Your glory, for Your name, and for Your praise, that You've done this, that You selected Jerusalem, that You chose Jerusalem and put Your holy name there. Not for our sakes, God, David said, not for our sakes, but for Your sake and for Your glory this was done. God saved me for His glory. He didn't save me for anything else. He didn't save me because He thought I was a pretty good fellow. He didn't save me because He thought I'd be a sovereign grace preacher. He didn't save me because He thought, I can use Him in my ministry and work. Or, He'll have gifts and talents and all of that. And He'll be easy persuaded and easy taught. Why, Lord have mercy, she are very stubborn. Sheep is. Can't do anything hardly with them. Jesus, God has a lot of trouble with the sheep. Don't you believe that? We make all kinds of excuses sometimes when we fall short of God's glory. We ain't got nothing to stand on. And we've got to think about His directive will as deterred by His eternal purpose. I have to comprehend and understand God's eternal purpose, what He revealed in Scripture concerning my life, concerning what He had in store for me, that God chose me before the foundations of the world. I know I didn't have any substance. I subsisted before God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ subsisted before the Father as the God-man in eternities billions and millions of years ago, before he was ever born in Bethlehem in the city of David, born in a stable and laid in a manger. You understand, Jesus Christ just brings in. Jesus Christ suffered in the spirit before he ever suffered in the flesh. The cross of Calvary was before the mind and purpose of God, before the world ever seen it, before anybody ever seen it, before there was ever a Golgotha Hill or anything, before Rome ever come into power. God looked down through the eons of time, and his eternal purpose and plan for the redemption of mankind, for them that he chose are the fallen race of human race of Adam, that he's going to bestow upon them eternal salvation. And he's going to do that for his honor and glory. And he chose Rome. Why did he choose Rome? Because Rome put their enemies to death by crucifixion. God worked it out, planned and purposed it, that when Jesus Christ, he sent his Son into the world, he sent his Son into the world for those that capital punishment was crucifixion by the Roman law. You remember Pilate said, why, he said, he done anything. He said, take him and judge him by your own law. They said, our law can't put him to death. In other words, our law can't crucify him. We want him crucified. We want him shamefully hung between heaven and earth. They was going to our queen. No, we don't want him stoned to death. We want a spike drove through one hand, through his hands, over his head, and a spike through both feet together on the cross. That's how we want him to die. They're playing right into God's hand. God's eternal purpose. Decree of God. His deterred us. His directive will as deterred by his eternal purpose. Takes in everything. So we have to keep asking questions about God's will. But it said here, you ought to walk and to please God. That's what Enoch's testimony was, that he pleased God, right? We have to please God. This is not a plaything. This is serious business. The Lord's church, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, since souls saved for his honor and for his glory, is a very serious matter. God takes it seriously. God said he wants his vessels, and he wants his vessels to be and sanctification and honor, he says, that every one of you should know how to possess his body in holiness and honor. Well, you got to understand and know that. If you're going to know these things, then you're going to have to study the Word of God, the revealed will of God in your heart and in your life. You say, well, is his revealed will the same to all men and women? No, it's not. His revealed will in the Word of God, a woman can't preach or teach, exhort authority over a man. In the Word of God, in his Word, he says a woman ought to cover her head. It's shame for her to be in assembly with her head uncovered. It says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That even though nature teaches you that, that it's a shame that a man have long hair. Well, what's long, you know? When you can't distinguish him from a woman. They look like a woman. See a lot of men running around, they look like women. From the back, you think it's a woman. He turned around, it's an old man with a beard. And he got long hair down his back, and some of the women envious of him because of that beautiful hair he's got. So it's different. When God reveals things to me, he may not reveal to you. God reveals things to you, his revealed will in the Word of God, that he doesn't promote to me. You know what I'm saying? He promotes that a woman has her rightful place in the Lord's house. Now, buddy, let me tell you, if a woman's in her rightful place in the Lord's house, she's got a lot to do. A man can't do the woman's work, and a woman can't do the man's work. Well, you're not supposed to, but we do. But we're not supposed to. The Bible says she's a weaker vessel. I don't know too much about that.